Hello, this is Josh Carmichael. The following is a sermon I had the privilege of preaching at New Covenant Presbyterian Church in Selma, Alabama. It is our prayer that the Lord Himself will minister to you by His Word and Spirit as you listen.
Please turn to Colossians 3:17. Third message in our mini-series, the Trio of Thanks, these three verses in the middle of Colossians chapter 3 that I've chosen to take one at a time. Next week we'll actually take a big section, one you might expect me to slow down and take slowly. I'm going to do an overview, actually. But tonight it's Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray you would grant us understanding and application of this message that we receive from this verse. We thank you for your word, your inerrant, infallible, authoritative word. Thank you that we can study it this evening. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the New Testament does not give us a detailed list of commandments, something we might call the umpteen rules of conduct for the Christian life, as given in the New Covenant. The New Testament isn't like that. We're not given a list to specifically govern, you know, every here in the New Covenant, as we have the Gospels and then the letters, the epistles. We're not given particular rules to govern every single particular circumstance or situation within which we might find ourselves. Now, we do come up in the New Testament with the tradition of the elders, which had really come together, but particularly in that time between the Testaments, that 400 years, where, you remember the other Lord's Day morning, we thought about the ninth thing that was forbidden on the Sabbath, as Jesus told the man to pick up his mat and walk. He was breaking one of the traditions of the elders. In fact, F.F. Bruce puts it like this: codes of rules, as Paul explains elsewhere, are suited to the period of immaturity, when he and his readers were still under guardians. The son, who has come of years of responsibility, knows his father's will without having to be provided with a long list of do's and don'ts. So one of the things we have in the New Covenant, as God's Spirit comes to dwell within us, as we have the Scripture and we can read it, the Spirit teaches us, we teach one another, we have others teach us, called of God to teach us. We are now have things like the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus, in fact, took the Ten Commandments and other commandments, not strictly speaking, but we find the Ten Commandments embedded in that sermon. He shows how, well, that they're not so simple, in fact. There's a lot to each one of these and how it works it out in each separate situation of life. He really expands them rather than making them easier to keep. He shows how it's much deeper than that. Another similar list that's worth our study, after the wonderful explanation and systematic taking us through the steps of the gospel, Paul in Romans 12-14, we find a lot of sort of applications, a lot of particular exhortations, but again, they really give us more to think about In the various circumstances we might find ourselves in and how to apply them. What we have more so in the New Testament are principles that may be applied to all the various situations we find that life under God's providence, different issues that come our way. And so this paragraph we've been studying here in chapter 3, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, reminding us we're united to Christ. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. We've been raised with Him. Well, basically, all of this is summed up in a command that gives us one of those principles. It's our verse for tonight. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. In fact, you could even say that our last two messages in this trio of thanks, and I called it the trio of thanks because in 15, 16, and 17, along with giving us particular exhortation, we're told to be thankful. Well, the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts, the word of Christ dwelling in us richly, now that's to be worked out in all of our words and deeds, everything we do. And we're to continue, as we've already been told, to do it with thanksgiving. Before I try to make some specific applications of this, let me read one author's sort of summary. This is David Garland. The final admonition of this section, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, recalls the beginning in all the way back to 2:6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. It prepares the reader for the next set of instructions in 3:18 to 4:1, which in those instructions it mentions the Lord seven times. Congregational worship is not the only time Christians do things in the name of the Lord and express their thanks to Him. Singing in gratitude, which we discussed last week, singing in gratitude should be the distinctive feature that embraces all of a Christian's life. We live under Christ's name and are enmeshed in His death and resurrection. Therefore, everything we do should be done conscious of His calling, His commands, His promises, and His sustenance. That's how David Garland sums up really these last few verses that we've considered on Sunday nights. So let's think about this verse for a few moments. I'm also going to read it as I've been doing on Sunday nights in the New Living Translation. Here's how the New Living Translation puts it. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. The verse seems to divide up into three parts, so I'm going to briefly look at the three parts. I think one of the parts I would call an overarching principle around the other principle we have here. The overarching principle, in the name of the Lord Jesus, or as the New Living Translation put it, as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Whatever we do, word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. We've discussed this before, but I will remind you, in the Bible, a person's name represents that person. Even in Jesus' case, his name given, Jesus, Yahweh saves, Yahweh is salvation. We know He's the Prince of Peace, Almighty God, Everlasting Father. When we're doing things in His name, we're also doing them as His representative. And so our overarching principle is whatever we're doing, we want to act in a way that's harmony with Jesus' identity, with Jesus' character, under Jesus' authority. Because that's whose authority we're under whenever we do anything. And so we're talking here in the name of the Lord Jesus, doing everything in His name. We're talking about bringing honor and respect to Christ in whatever we do, however we think, whatever we say. That's a lot of stuff, isn't it? Anything we do, anything we think, anything we say. As a Christian, we're always representing Christ. Wherever we go, wherever we do, whatever we say. I think one of the points tonight is going to be to just take this and we have to pray over it, meditate over it, and see how God would apply it in our own lives. Maybe even something we might share about. Maybe on a Wednesday night, how this has been working out in our life. Let me just ask you this. What impression do people have of Christ when they see or talk with you? What impression do people have of Christ when they see or talk with you? That'd be a good question to keep in our mind as we seek and ask God to help us apply this in our life. Do they see his love? It's true, his love. Do they hear his truth? Do they see that we're under his authority and that even as we're doing our duties for him, we're doing them with joyful hearts, with the joy of salvation? What impression do people have of Christ when they see or talk with you? What changes would you make in your life in order to honor Christ? We can all think about some of those things that we can do by God's grace, with his help. Changes of our words, of our deeds, of our actions. So the overarching principle, in the name of the Lord Jesus. But then there's an application to that principle, whatever you do. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything. We have this, we're under his name. We have his name, Christian. If we have the name Christian, then whatever we do in word or deed, we have to do it under that banner. Now, we noted earlier when I read David Garland, he said, you know, we're enmeshed in him, we're united to him, his death and resurrection are ours. And so he lists, he said, so whatever we do, we want to be doing it with being conscious of the Lord's calling, his commands, his promises, and his sustenance. His calling, his commands, his promises, and his sustenance. By the way, Pastor John Robb taught me to acknowledge. I know we're a little hot in here. This is going to be short. There's not a whole lot left. But I am going to ask you, Ron asked me if I had any tricks tonight. I do have one trick tonight. If you open your hymnal to page 869, we're going to apply this by using the catechism. Turn to page 869 in the back of your hymnal. Page 869, I'm going to ask the question, let's answer them together, the first three. And this is going to apply, you're saying, how do we deal with God's calling, with his command, with his promises, with his sustenance? How do we apply Colossians 3:17? Here's how our catechism helps us. Question one, what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. You see that one end lists two things. God's glory, but also our enjoyment. This isn't for a totally somber, sober life. It's a life of joy with the Lord, under his banner, under his name. Question two, what rule hath God given to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy him? The word of God, which is contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy him. The scriptures. What a novel application from the pastor. We have to go back to the scriptures. That's how we're going to know his commands and his promises, his calling and his sustenance. So question three, what do the scriptures principally teach? The scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. I think if we're going to apply this, it is simple. We go back to the scripture and we meditate on it. We mutter over it. We put more of it in our heart than we have, and we remember what we've forgotten. And you know what? The wonderful thing is there's a lot of it in there already. We just got to call it back out. Because God, his word will accomplish all through your life as God is, as he's put his word upon your heart. He'll continue to accomplish what he had planned for it. And so We want that intimacy with God that we talked about on a Wednesday night. We talked about that the righteous man, God is intimate. The righteous woman, God is intimate with them. We need the intimacy of prayer and of meditation on God's word. That's the only way that whatever we do in word or deed, that everything can be done in God's name, in the name of Christ, for God's glory. Question, do you do every single thing you do in obedience to the Lord Jesus? And this isn't such a complicated question. You know, when we're, one of our applications of this in our home, and we're dealing with trying to teach, I have all boys, trying to teach the boys to do household chores. You know what? We wash the dishes to God's glory. It's an everyday thing. Ecclesiastes tells us about this. The sink's empty. One day you look at it, the next, it's full again. As long as we keep eating, that's going to keep happening. The car, we drive cars. As long as we keep driving cars, we're going to look at the gauge and the gas is going to be empty. We have to put more in. We can do these things to God's glory. Simple things. I really don't mean, though, there are big things. As we do all the simple, everyday simple choices we hardly think of, as we're doing them, knowing the Lord's with us, then we'll be ready to make those bigger decisions. Can I do this, what I'm about to do, without compromising my Christian confession? There's a little bit bigger situation. When we have to, let's ask that question. Can I do this, what I'm about to do, without compromising my confession? Can I do it in the name of the Lord Jesus? Can I thank God for what I'm about to do after I've done it or as I'm doing it? Well, finally, there's a built-in response within the principle, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Again, really, it's that same application question I just gave. The things we do each day. And yes, we can even go further. The books we read, the programs we watch, the conversations we have, the things we bring into our minds, can we do them thankfully in the name of the Lord? And God's a part of every part of our life. When you're at work doing your job, God's with us. If we're doing something that helps make the world go round, as we say, He's with us. Whether at a desk, whether out on a field, in a factory, all the places in between. Let me ask a couple of questions and we'll conclude. Is everything you have the opportunity and privilege and even duty to do? Everything. Is everything you have the opportunity, the privilege, and even the duty to do, is it accompanied by thanksgiving to God through Christ? You know, when we're thankful to God for what He's given us, even for the afflictions He gives us that we can learn and grow through them, it says it's through Christ. It's as if we're putting our thanksgiving onto a platter, and Christ, the perfect mediator, presents it to the Father. Your people, Lord, the people you've given me, they're thankful for our work, for our providence in their life. He presents our thanksgiving to the Father. And then, of course, we have the Spirit, if I may transition into the prayerful sense of this, who groans for us with prayers, groanings too deep for words, going before the Father on our behalf as well. A lack of thanksgiving is a characteristic of those outside of Christ. But in Christ, our thanksgiving shows that we receive God's providence as grateful children, as grateful members of His kingdom. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. May God, by His grace and through the work of His Spirit, apply this to our lives. Let's pray. Father, we know those words well. What's the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Please, O Lord, through the finished work of Your Son, through the power of Your Spirit, through the living, active Word of God You've given us, may we glorify You in every thought, word, and deed, and may we be filled with the joy of knowing You. We pray in Christ's name.